How is everybody this morning? Oh, I love it. Blessed and highly favored. I'm going to have to use that. I never heard that before. Amen. Amen. Anybody know what today is? All right. You guys sound like you mean that today. Awesome. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Guess what? We're getting ready to celebrate Memorial Day tomorrow. Okay? And I'd like to just take a minute and remind you that only two defining forces in our lives have ever died for us. One of them was Jesus Christ when he died on the cross so that we could have freedom from our sins. And the other is the veteran who gave his life so that we could have the freedoms that we have. The freedom to be able to come together and worship the way that we do now. And we should never, ever, ever take either one of those lightly. So if there's any veterans in the house today, if you could please just stand. If you are serving or have served, can you just stand? Huh? Look around at these people, and I agree. And let me be the first to say thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you for helping us to have the freedoms that we have. And then I'd like to just take a moment, if we could, please. I don't know about you, but my family actually has people in our family who has fallen in the line of duty. I had a grandfather who fell in World War II in the invasion of Normandy, and he's buried in France. They made the ultimate sacrifice. So if we can take just a moment and remember those people in your life or anybody else that you know that may have given the ultimate sacrifice to give us this freedom, then I'll pray. Father, thank you. Thank you in your word. You remind us where it says, no greater love hath a man than he laid down his life for his brother. And Father, I know you were talking about Jesus and about how he laid his life down for us. But that was the example that we have. And so, Father, we thank you for the men and women in our arms, in our armed forces. Those ones, Father, who you protected and brought back home safely. But also, Father, those ones, Father, who paid the ultimate sacrifice, who laid down their lives for us. And so, Father, we just want to remember them this morning, and we want to say thank you. Thank you for the sacrifice of your son, Jesus Christ, and thank you for the sacrifice of these men and women that have gone before us so that we can have what we have today. And Father, help us never to take either one of those sacrifices for granted, but to remember, Father, that our freedom is bought with a price and our salvation is bought with a price. And so, Father, our life is really not our own. It actually is indebted to those who paid that price so that we could have what we have. So, Father, we say thank you for the sacrifice that Jesus made. And we say thank you for the men and women who made that ultimate sacrifice so that we can have what we have today. So, Father, as we get together tomorrow to have picnics and celebrations and things, yes, we're going to celebrate the freedom we have. But help us, Father, to remember and memorialize those people who went before and paid the ultimate sacrifice. And those people, Father, who gave up years out of their life to defend us and defend this country. And so, Father, thank you for those men and women who paid the ultimate sacrifice and the ones, Father, who are serving now, Father. So, Father, be with our men and women in the armed forces today. Wherever they're at today out there in harm's way, Father, just be with them, watch over them, and keep them. And, Father, just let them know how much we appreciate them and let them know we're praying for them right now. So, Father, thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, and the sacrifice he made. Thank you for our military and the people who served in it and their sacrifice. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory. And all the people said, amen, 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 and amen. All right, guys. You look awesome out there today. Oh, jeez. You guys must not think you look awesome today. Come on, are you awake? All right. Now listen, I don't know about you guys, but I'm wore out. I was up here praising and worshiping with these young ones, and they got more energy than I've ever seen before in my life. I don't know if you've seen them up here, but they were going. Can we have a hand for the young kids? Man, I got tired just watching them. It was crazy. So listen, a couple of things. Jack is recovering well. He's at home. He says he has an excellent nurse. Not ready to come back yet, but he is recovering. I got a text message that perhaps I'm going to read to you later on from him. And I got some other things I want to share with you. But last week we started into godly sorrow. Started into a message that I didn't get to finish. And I was a little concerned because I didn't get to finish it, but it didn't matter. Because God says, don't rush. I want everybody to understand this message, and I want you to grab hold of it. And I want you guys to grab hold of it. This message, these messages that I teach are not for you, they're for me. Okay? And when I get a hold of these messages, man, they change my life. And as I've gotten a hold of this message on godly sorrow, you know, I've been broken and I've been weeping, but I've been the happiest and the most free that I've been in a long time. Okay? And so I hope you can take and understand what God is trying to teach us with this message. Nobody likes sorrow in their life. Okay? None of us like sorrow. We all want to be happy. We all want to be those jacuzzi Christians, man. We always want it to be warm and fuzzy. Okay? But sorrow is good for us. And I'm not going to take a lot of time in going through the ones that we had last week. I just want to give them to you quickly so that in case you weren't here last week, you can see some of the things we talked about last week. I've taken some of the slides out so it doesn't take so long to get to the part I want to. But sorrow. If you go to the next slide, they said there's two types of sorrow. There's worldly sorrow and there is godly sorrow. One's good for us, the other one isn't good for us. Okay? Can you guess which one's good for you? Godly sorrow. So listen, I'm going to ask you this question. You answered correctly. So if godly sorrow is good for us, shouldn't we be seeking it in our life from time to time? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes? But how many of us ever think about godly sorrow? How many of us line up for godly sorrow? Nope. We line up for the blessings, but when it comes to godly sorrow, we're not in a big hurry to line up here and get in line for that. The next one was godly sorrow is a kind of wretchedness that can bring a repentant sinner to tears of grief. Now, what kind of sinner? A repentant sinner. Okay, so we're going to get into what a repentant sinner is in a little bit. If you keep that in mind later on in the sermon today, you're going to hear what a repentant sinner is, okay? So go to the next one, please. We talked about Peter and his denial, and he weeps bitterly. I'm not going to go through every one of these slides, but if you could, just skip to the one where it says, and he wept bitterly. As you know, Jesus came to Peter and says, hey, you know, tonight before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. And what did Peter say? Not me. Not me. Though everybody else fall, Lord, not me. I'll follow you. And Jesus says, even to the death. And Peter said, you know, I'll follow you even to the death. And Jesus says to him, tonight before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. And we know the story how Peter vehemently, at the end, he says, I swear I do not know that man. And then the cock crowed. And he remembered the words of Jesus. And he went out and what? What was that? That was called godly sorrow. You know why he was sorry? Because he hurt God. He hurt Jesus. Jesus told him and warned him of the things he was going to do. But you know what I think was in him? Too much pride. Peter says, hey, even though the rest fall away, I'm different than all the rest. Those are those believers, but Lord, I am a better believer than all the rest. I can do more than all of these, and it's a good thing that you're calling me the rock, and this is the house you're going to build on, because all these other ones are going to fall away, but no, not me. Can you see the pride? And before we can get godly sorrow, we got to get rid of the pride. He says we got to humble ourselves. After he denied three times, he remembered the words of Christ. I believe the pride disappeared because he had nothing to be prideful of anymore. And then he went out and he humbled himself and he wept bitterly. Not just a few tears, but he wept bitterly because of the pain that he had caused and because of the disappointment in his own life by seeing that there was sin in his life. And he knew what that did to Jesus by having sin in his life. The next slide says this. There he is. You ever see any pride in him? You know, there was one day when a man came to him and said, "Good master." And you know what Jesus said? "Why do you call me good? I'm not good. Only the Father in heaven is good." You see, he wouldn't allow any pride to come into his life anywhere. Look at the smile he has, and he's holding up that hole in his hand. With great humility, with great love, saying, "Come on, guys, you can get this. Keep coming. Come on, you can have this mind in you that was in me. Don't think yourself something that you're not. Don't boast, because if we go out and boast like Peter did, guess what comes? What happens with pride? Pride goes where? Pride goes where? Come on. Pride goes where?
Before the fall.
That's correct. And what happened to Peter? He fell. Next slide. For godly sorrow, this is 2 Corinthians 7. For godly sorrow produces what? So what do you think happened to Peter after he fell? Do you think he went out and repented? And he said, "Jesus, I thought something was in me that really wasn't in there. And I got to repent." Now listen, I want you to see something. Peter was a disciple. Peter was already saved. But what did Peter have to do? Godly sorrow came, and then he had to go out and repent. Not in the fact that he denied Christ, but in the fact that he found something in his life, pride. "All the other ones, Father, but not me. I'm different, I'm better." And then he also found out his faith wasn't as strong as he thought it was. And so he goes out and he gets godly sorrow and he repents and he says, "Father and Jesus, I'm never gonna do this again." You see, it's only that godly sorrow that leads to repentance, which makes us say, "Hey, we need to do something different." Without that godly sorrow in Peter's life, he would have never changed. But the godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation and not to be regretted. So we get sorry and we have any regret about our sorrow, because that sorrow causes us to change, and it causes us to change for the better. Go to the next slide, please. But the sorrow of the world produces death. Go to the next one. Can I go back? Okay. The sorrow of the world produces death. Okay. I got some people who had some money in the stock market. And you know what they are? Are they rejoicing right now or are they sorry? They're sorry. What are they sorry about? They're sorry that they lost money. Okay? That's worldly sorry. Okay? It ain't going to produce any kind of change. They're just upset because they got hurt. That kind of sorrow doesn't produce any kind of repentance. Okay? That's just a small example of worldly sorrow. Okay? Go ahead to the next one, please. That is why the scripture said, "God opposes the proud," how about Peter, "but shows favor to the humble." Now, what is the most difficult thing for me to do? The difficult thing for me to do, especially as a man, is to humble myself. You know, I was always taught, man, positive attitude. Always taught, if you think you can, you will. Okay? Don't let anybody see any weakness in you. And you know what all that produced? Pride. And so now, it's really hard for me from time to time to sit here and say, Lord, thank you. I see that snuck into my life. Forgive me. And you know the funny part with pride, arrogance, a lot of these sins, they don't start real big. They start with small things in our life. And then the idea is that once we get it in here, are we going to do like David did and fall on our face and repent? Or are we going to say, oh, we're going to brush it off and we're going to justify it in our own mind? But he says here, God does what? He opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. And in order for me to get to the point of godly sorrow, I've got to come and humble myself before him. And I got to be able to say, Lord, you're right. I am nothing but filthy rags. I am nothing without you. Father, I haven't done a very good job running my life to date. And Father, since I've given my heart and life to Christ to you, I'm doing better, but I'm still not where I need to be yet. You see, I got to keep that humble attitude. And if I don't keep that humble attitude, then guess what? The pride starts to sneak in. And then once the pride starts to sneak in, then I can't humble myself. And if I can't humble myself, I never get to the godly sorrow. Then I can't get to the repentance. Then I can't get to the change. That leaves no regret. Over the last couple of weeks, as I've humbled myself, man, the Spirit of God has come down on me. But I had to humble myself first. And then I had to say, Lord, forgive me. I thought I was cruising along pretty good. I thought I was something. I thought we were doing good, Lord. He says, you are doing good. But don't get too proud. Remember, there's some things we need to work on here. Yes, Lord, I want to work on them too because I want to be everything you want me to be. And as I get real with him like that, he comes and he speaks to me in a very real and a very special way. You know, when we humble ourselves before him and we get downright sorry for what we've done to him in the way that we've lived our life, the way that we've acted, the way that we talk, his presence shows up, oh my golly, like never before. And he comes and he ministers. So, that is why the scripture says God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. So go on to the rest of this. Submit yourselves then to God. You know what the biggest problem with me is? I always want my way. I'm like Elvis Presley. I did it my way. You know, I had a great uncle that led the singing here. And I would visit him on a Wednesday or a Sunday. I'd be over to play with his kids and we'd be playing and Uncle Charlie be in there singing, practicing to get up here and lead the singing. And he'd always sing four songs. But he'd only ever practice three. And I said, hey, Uncle Charlie, what are you doing, man? You're only practicing three songs. He said, oh, yeah. He said, but I'm going to sing four. I said, well, where's the fourth one? He said, I never pick the fourth one. Why don't you pick the fourth one? He said, because if I pick all the songs, he said, then I'm not submitting myself to God and let God having his way. So he said, I'll pick three and I sing three of them and then I'm up there and God will give me the fourth. Hallelujah. If I submit my life to him and I make room for him, guess what? He shows up. You know, I look at my life. I got calendars and day timers, and now they had all moved online, and now you got the calendars and Outlook, and your whole day is planned, your whole week is planned, your whole month is planned, your whole year is planned. And God's looking at it and saying, okay, show me where I'm scheduled in there. Sunday, yeah. Only in the morning, though, Marvin. Right after noon, then it's my turn. We got to get to the place where we can submit ourselves to him. He says, don't say, in his word, he reminds us. He says, don't say tomorrow you will go here or go there. Don't say you will sell this or buy that. Say, if God wills, then I will do those things. Submit yourself. And then he says we got to do another thing. What's that? Resist the devil. You know, I don't know about you guys, but in my life, I've loved to flirt with disaster. I loved to come up here and surrender all and get in the presence of God. And then when I leave here, I hear that chirping in my ear. And instead of resisting the devil, sometimes I let him chirp. You know, because he's always got enticing words to say. Till one day I went to visit a lady. And I went over there to make a call on her. And she was a recovering alcoholic. And she said, I need you to come over here and pray for me. And I go and pull up into the house. And there's a house and a house trailer. And the house trailer door's open. And I see this lady in there, an elderly lady. She got this broom and she's in there and she's sweeping and screaming and thinking, oh, Lord, what did I get myself into? Why is this woman sweeping and screaming the way that she is? And so I said, I hope that's not the house I'm going to. And the daughter comes out of the house and she says, you need to come over and see Mom. I said, okay, I'll go over to see Mom. And I'll go in there. And this woman is in there. She got all the doors open on the house trailer. And she is just swinging that broom. And she's pushing and she's pushing and she's swinging. And I hear her, she's saying, devil, get out of here. You got no room in this house. Don't, how dare you try to tempt me with that stuff you're doing. Get out of my house. And she was sweeping the devil out of her house. And she was just in there, just going to town with that old broom, saying, devil, I'm resisting you. Get out. And I thought, man, I should have come to this house. But how many times when we hear that little itching in our ear and we like what we hear? And we say, okay, you can stay just a little while longer. I want to hear what else you got to say. And instead of resisting him, we open the door to him. And then when we open the door to him, then you know, we got real problems once we do that. Okay? Because then he starts lying to us and leading us astray. So we got a choice. The choice is that, you know, we can humble ourselves. We can submit ourselves to God. And then we can resist the devil. You know, in staff, we're doing this new thing, okay? We've been studying. It says, whatever is good, whatever is pure, whatever is righteous, whatever is lovely, think on these things, okay? And so if we're going to think on those things, the only thing that we can do is speak those things to one another. So we have this new thing, okay? So if somebody starts to say something negative, you know what we do? Stop! I'm going to resist the devil and I ain't going to let it come out of your mouth and into my ears because I don't want to hear negativity because it ain't positive, it ain't lovely, it ain't good. But Chip, I'm only telling you this. Stop! I don't want to hear it. Going to resist the devil. So now we're all in there. Stop! We're reminding one another. We're keeping one another on guard. My wife did that one time. She was on an online video and she did that one. Stop in the name of love. Okay? So isn't that great? Stop in the name of love before you break my heart. Think it over. Before that negativity comes out of your mouth, you know what you better do? You better resist the devil. Amen. You better say, stop. Get the broom. Get out of here, old devil. Sweep it out. I'm going to get a broom in my office. I'm going to start sweeping the people out of my office that come with the negativity. Okay? Go to the next one, please. He says, resist the devil and what? Come near to me and I will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Go on to the next one. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Grieve, mourn, and wail. This is what I wanted to hear this morning. Got to go out here, grieve, mourning, and wailing. Next one. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to... Now, this isn't walking around, oh, woe is me. Oh, the world's bad. I got no chance. Oh, woe, woe, woe. When we get too much pride and too much laughter and joy, man, we walk around, that's all we think about. We go from joy to joy, from laughter to laughter. And when we're doing that, are we changing it all? Yes, we are. We're changing for the wrong way. Okay? Every once in a while, we got to examine our life. We got to compare it to Christ and his life. Amen. Go to the next one, please. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Now listen, I want you to see something here, and I want to get off of this one. If we humble us, he might lift us up. He will. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Do you want your boss at work to lift you up, or do you want God to lift you up? Okay, then stop looking for praises from your boss. Start humbling yourself, submitting yourself, and doing what God tells you to do, and be the best team member you can be, and humble yourself, and God's going to come in and lift you up. If you want to be the best church member you can be, guess what we got to do? We got to get into this house, not seek our own way, but we got to come in here and humble ourselves before God, and guess what he'll do? He'll lift us up. In our families, it's the same way. When we humble ourselves, he will lift us up. Go to the next one, please. Did he submit to the Father's way? Did he humble himself? He humbled himself even unto the death of the cross. And we can see the nail in his hand. There is our example. Even when he went to the garden and prayed, he said, Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine. He submitted. And he was humble. And then he even offered forgiveness to those that did this to him while he was on the cross. Next slide, please. And we talked about the story of David last week. After removing Saul, he made David their king and testified concerning him. I have found David, the son of Jesse. Next. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Now, David, he was a murderer and an adulterer. He didn't do everything right. But here's God talking about David and saying, he's a man after my own heart, and he will do everything I want him to do. And when he got caught in his sin, the very first thing it did was produce anger. And he said, tell me who stole that little sheep from that man. I am going to go and take justice today as sure as God lives. That man won't live today. He was so angry when he heard about that thing that had been done. And then the prophet looked at him and said, David, that was you. So his sin went to anger when he heard about somebody else doing the same thing he did. And then when he heard it was him, guess what he did? He fell on his face before God and said, God, forgive me. And he wept bitterly and got on the floor before God. And this is why it says, he will do everything I want him to do. Even though he was the king, you know what he was always doing? He was always humbling himself before God. When the Ark of the Covenant's coming in and they're bringing it in with great joy and jubilation, he strips off his clothes, takes off his crown, and he goes out and dances in his underwear before the Ark of the Covenant. And all the queens and all the people say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Put some humility, put some pride back on. All the people are looking at you. And he said, if you only knew what God has done for me, he's done for you, you'd be dancing with me. When he submitted himself and he got humble. So that was the David part we talked about last week. Go to the next one. And this is what Paul wrote to the people in Corinthians when he was correcting them. He said, even if I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it, when he was correcting him. Though I did regret it, I see that my letter hurt you. I don't want to hurt you. But guess what? It was only for a little while that my letter hurt you when I corrected you. Okay, go to the next one. Yet now am I am happy, not because that you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led to... Oh, heavens. Every once in a while, we got to be made sorry so that we can be led to repentance, so that we can change something in our life. And without that sorrow, we're not going to get that repentance, and we're not going to go out of here changed. So go to the next one, please. For you became sorrowful as who intended? Wait a minute. Who intended them to be sorry? Oh, God intended them to be sorry. And so we're not harmed in any way by us, because that sorrow led to a change which got them to higher ground, a closer relationship with God, more Christ-like. Those are the things we got to remember. Go to the next slide. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leads no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. Next one. This is the rest of it. See what this godly sorrow has produced in you? Go to the next one. What earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourself, what indignation. What about David? Hey, let me tell you about this guy that killed this sheep and fed it to his gift. What? Indignation came. I'm going to take action today. I'm going to fix that. When Paul got caught denying Christ three times, he was eager to get rid of that. He was earnest about not letting it happen again. And without the godly sorrow, would any of these virtues come through in his life? What longing? What concern? Go to the next one. What readiness to see justice done? That was David. Today, I'm going to make sure justice gets done. At every point, you have proved yourself to be innocent in this matter. Go to the next one. So even though I wrote to you, it was neither on account of the one who did the wrong or nor on account of the injured party. So, you know, you ever appeal to somebody because somebody did something wrong to you? Matt, somebody does something wrong to you and you come up to me and say, oh, pastor, you know, I can't believe what John did to me. And I need you to help me. I want you to help me fix the situation. And then John says, hey, wait, pastor, I've got to tell you something. You know, I want to come and I want to tell you what happened and why I did to Matt what I did to Matt. He said, I ain't writing on account of either one of these two. I'm writing to the whole body. Because it ain't about the right or the wrong. It's about us beginning to the place where we can humble ourselves, submit ourselves to God, and recognize who we are, allow godly sorrow to enter into our life so that it can change us. And everybody said, I ain't writing to fix this one wrong. I'm writing to fix all of you. Amen. Go to the next one. But rather that before God you could see for yourselves how devoted to us you are. Next one. By all this we are encouraged. We're encouraged that you read the letter. We're encouraged that when you read the letter, you let the Spirit convict you. And you humbled yourself and said, hey, this might apply to me. Okay? At work, we used to get the executive team together and we used to exchange books and we used to exchange scriptures and everything else. And one time I had a Joyce Meyer tape I really liked and I played it. Okay? And then I gave it to everybody to take home. And then one day after we played it and everybody listened to it, took everyone home, we got the team together again the next day. And this one gentleman comes and says, man, I'm glad you gave that to me. Okay, why are you glad you gave that to me? Or I gave it to you. He says, because I see how that fits into. And I see how it fits into. I said, hey, do me a favor. Go back and listen to it again. Oh, man, you know what? I missed it. I see how it fits into a lot of people's lives, just not those two. I see it fits into a lot of people in our work. I said, do me a favor. Go back and listen to it again. And they went back and listened to it the fourth time. And they came back and they said, oh, my. It wasn't for everybody else. It was for me. And what he's saying here is we were encouraged that when we wrote this letter of correction to you, you let the Spirit examine you. And then you didn't harden your heart. And as the Spirit pricked you, you humbled yourself. And then you got sorry before God. And because of that sorrow, a change has happened in your life. And we are all encouraged by this. Now, we're all going to sit here today. We're all going to hear the same message. And some of us are going to walk out of here and say, boy, I don't even know what that was all about. An old spirit is working on you like crazy. But you know what? It says in the scripture, we're all justified in our own mind. But when the Spirit is speaking to us, are we going to humble ourselves? Are we going to listen to what he's saying? Are we going to submit to the correction that God's trying to give us? Not so that he can sit up there and laugh at us, but so that he can help us become all that we can be in Christ Jesus. Amen. Next slide, please. Every time I see that, I break. Every Wednesday morning, I come in here when Kenny's playing. That's where my eyes go first. I look at that cross. And I just say, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for that cross. Thank you for what you did on that cross. And I humble myself before him. And when you get into that kind of an attitude and you start to humble yourself before him, then he can speak to you. And then the Spirit of God starts to move. And it did again this week. I mean, I don't know what happened this week, but it was just absolutely phenomenal. I went over there in the corner. I wanted to pray by myself, and I went over there right by that flag, and I got down on my knees over there by myself, and I was over there weeping before God, and I was telling him how sorry I was, because, Lord, I don't always get this right, and I'm over here, and I'm crying out to God, and I'm saying, Lord, help me. I don't want to be like this anymore. And the next thing you know, I feel a hand on my back. And somebody's sitting next to me and they're praying. And the next thing I know, somebody's over on this side praying. Next thing I know, there's three or four people behind me. And then there's about five or six of them in front of me. And pretty soon I look and the whole room is over here praying for me. Why? Because I was broken with that godly sorrow, and God was sending people around me to lift me up. And he says, if I humble myself, then I will lift you up. Man, it was a most awesome time again on Wednesday morning as we were in here praying for one another and exchanging scriptures. And man, the Spirit was moving like crazy. Go to the next one, if you would, please. The Apostle Paul described his own battles with sin. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. He never got too much pride in his life. You know what he kept saying all through his life, even towards the end of his life? He says, oh, what a great man I am. Look at all the great things I've done. Look at all the sermons I've preached. Look at all the people that got saved. He's saying, look at all of the healings that have happened. No, you know what he says? Oh, wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Go to the next one. Then he gives the answer. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Okay, I want to go through this one thing real quick. Go to the next one, please. Godly sorrow results from a heartfelt conviction that we have offended God by our sin. Next one. Such a burning conviction produces in our heart godly sorrow. Go to the next one. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house. I want to show you something here. This is called the parable of the sower. Guys, anybody in here know the parable of the sower? I want to show you what God showed me through the Spirit about the parable of the sower. It says, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And a great multitude were gathered together unto him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow seed. And he sowed. Some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root. They withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now listen to me. That's kind of a silly question, ain't it? Silly statement. He who has ears, let me check. Anybody in here not got ears? Everybody in here's got ears, right? So we all should be listening to this. But what he's saying is those that have spiritual ears to hear, let them hear what I got to say. Now let me show you what he says, because he explains the parable. Go to the next one, please. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, and then the wicked one comes and snatches it away, that was what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives the seed by the wayside. But he, can I go back to that one a second? Go back a second, okay? Then the wicked one comes and snatches it away. That was sown into his heart. Where was it sown? Into his heart, okay? So listen, how many of you have ever planted anything in your life? Okay? So when you go out to plant, you just take your seed and, oh, that looks like a good place to plant corn, and you just throw it on the ground, right? No? What you got to do to the ground first? You got to prepare it. And how do you prepare the soil? Come on, this is not a trick question. You got to what to it? You got to break it up. You got to break up the soil so that it can receive the seed. And now listen, my grandfather and I used to have a garden when I was little. And my grandfather used to break up the soil with one of them steel-wheeled things with the three harrows on it. He'd be out there pushing that thing, and he'd be breaking up the ground. And he'd be sweating. He'd say, okay, grandson, it's your turn. And I'd make one row maybe, and I'd say, okay, grandpa, it's your turn. And he'd go for another half hour or so, and he'd be plowing at that ground. And he'd be turning up the ground, and he'd be getting it ready for that seed to go into it. Okay? Now, the seed is sown out there, and it falls on the wayside. And what the Holy Spirit was revealing to me is that is the people when they hear the gospel of Christ. When they hear that Christ died for their sins, you know what they say? Well, I'm not like the rest of those people. I'm a good person. I don't need Jesus. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't robbed anybody. I didn't commit adultery. I don't need it. And it falls on that stony heart because they don't see the need for it. They haven't had the godly sorrow. It hasn't broken up their heart. So there's no room for it to penetrate because they say, hey, I'm fine the way I am. They don't understand it. They don't understand that they need it. Because they haven't gotten real with themselves. Because the Bible teaches us how many have sinned and come short of the glory of God? All. So now it falls on that hard place on the wayside. And what happens to it? You're right. The old devil comes in and says, you don't need this. You're perfect. You're going to get into heaven through all your good works. You got a great attitude. You've been a great person all your life. And the devil takes the seeds of the gospel and he flies it off with the birds. And you can't get saved if you don't hear the gospel. And you keep saying, yep, devil, you're right. I don't need the gospel. I'm a good person and God's going to let me into heaven because God is a good God and he loves people who do good. And I'm going to get in there because of that. And it disappears. Okay? Now listen, go to the next one. But he who receives the seed on stony places is he that hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Now wait, listen to me. What's underlined there? How do they receive it?
Joy.
Okay, because it says in the word that joy leads to salvation. No, it says what does? Sorrow leads to. So they hear about this get out of jail free card. Oh, you mean I could get rid of all this stuff in the past? I don't have to worry about it anymore. I don't even have to sweat over it. I don't have to mourn over it. I don't do anything. I'll take that. And they grab a hold of this gospel. And as long as things are warm and fuzzy and they're joyful, guess what? They hang on to it. But what happens when the heat comes? There's no root because there's been no change. They haven't had the godly sorrow that leads to salvation, so they can't change. Go to the next one. Yet has no root in himself, but endures only for a little while because change hasn't taken place, because it's stony and it hasn't been, the ground hasn't been prepared right. The godly sorrow hasn't come. For then when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. The last one. There's two more, I'm sorry. Now he receives seeds, received the seed among the thorns, is he who hears the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Stop there. The cares of this world. How many of you guys got cares in this world? All of us, right? So you got these cares in this world, and the cares are coming, and when the cares of the world are coming, who are you caring about? Yourself or other people? So then guess what? The heart hasn't been prepared right, because we're still thinking about us and we don't have the ground plowed up right. But yet go to the next one. But he who receives the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. Okay, listen, I don't know about you, but when the word was given to me when I was younger, I fought it and I fought it and I fought it. And finally, one day, the Lord spoke to me and says, son, you need this. Why do I need this? And I began to see in my life all the things that I had done that I wasn't very proud of. And you know what that led to? A broken heart. And I said, Lord, forgive me. But when I went to him and said, forgive me, I wasn't coming with joy and say, hey, Lord, thank you. Good news. I'm saved. And this is awesome. I come to him broken. And I said, Lord, I feel your Holy Spirit convicted me. And I got to get up and I got to humble myself and I got to get down at that altar. And I don't care who's watching. Because right now, Father, I'm broken and I'm hurt because of the hurt that I have caused you. And guess what? The soil was broken up and the seed was ready to go in. Because I humbled myself. And I went and asked for that forgiveness. And as that seed got in, it took hold and it grew. Why? Because I allowed the Spirit to prick me. And then I allowed myself to humble myself. Man, it took everything I had to get up out of that seat. What that guy said when I gave my heart and life to Christ was, look, if you're ashamed to confess him before man, he's going to be ashamed to confess you before God. And what he was really saying is, I want to know, everybody is watching you. And they're going to say, oh, there goes Chip. But you know what I had to do? I had to humble myself. I had to obey that prick of the Holy Spirit. I had to get up and I had to get down here. And I had to fall on my face before him with godly sorrow. And say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. And then he said, okay, here comes the seed. It's going to go into good ground. And I know it's going to produce. Can I go to the next one real quick? Who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, 60 and 30. Okay, we did that one. Go to the next one. As we look upon him who was pierced for our sins, are we deeply grieved in our spirit? Look at the next picture. There he is, beaten, beyond resignation, or beyond recognition, crown of thorns, spit on him, hanging there, all for you and I. And when we look at that, and then we look at how we live our lives, are we saying, yes, Lord, I'm doing the best I can. I'm staying humble. I'm submitted myself to you. I want to be found worthy of that kind of a sacrifice. And right now, Lord, I can tell you, I ain't so worthy. And when that kind of godly sorrow comes, we're breaking up the ground again. And then change is coming. I'm going to got two more slides or so. Can you hang in there with me for two more minutes? Okay. Go to the next one, please. If the chicken is burnt or the beans are fried, don't worry about it. It was my fault, okay? And we resolve within our hearts that we will, with the help of God, what? Not because he tells me I have to in the word. Not because I'm afraid of hell. But because of my love for God and I don't want to hurt him. Amen. Nobody's forcing me to do it anymore. I want to do what's right because I want to do those things which are pleasing in his sight because he's done so much for me. Amen. My heart has been broken. I finally grasped the love that he has for me. And I said, Lord, forgive me. Help me. I no longer want to do evil. Go to the next one. This I want you to see. John and Kathy, you want to start making your way up there? I'm almost done here. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Now one was a religious leader and the other one was the lowest of the low. Okay? Go to the next slide, please. And the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector over here. Okay? I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. Man, aren't I good, Lord? I don't do any of the bad stuff, and I fast, and I give money to you, man. I do everything you ask me to do. Aren't I good? But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. Now we can go home justified in our own mind, or we can go home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Oh Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. You have done so much for me. You ask so little of me. You ask me to let this mind be in me that was in you. And what is that? That you humbled yourself. You came in the form of a man. And you became obedient, even unto the death of the cross. Never seek in your own way. Always, always, always doing what your Father asks you to do. Father, forgive us when we think it's all about us. It ain't about us, it's for us. Father, forgive me when I pray that prayer like the Pharisee prayed. Wow, Lord, thank you for what you made me into. Wow, Lord, I'm a pastor. And wow, Lord, man, you brought me from this, and man, I'm doing really great. And boy, I'm glad I'm not like the rest of them people. Oh, Lord, I'm worse than those people when the thoughts come into my mind. Forgive us. Forgive us. And now, Father, You search the hearts of the people today. You convict. I know your spirit's been at work all throughout this message. And I know it's been convicting people. And now, Father, we got a choice to make. Are we going to let this message prick our hearts and allow it to change us? Are we going to humble ourselves and submit to you, Father, and do the changes in our life that you so desperately want to see in us? Or are we going to walk out here and say, boy, I see how that message fit for Sherry. Boy, that was really good for Matt. Boy, I'm glad Pastor Chip gave that message. This message isn't for anybody else, but each and every one of us individually, Father. Thank you for this message. Thank you for godly sorrow. Thank you for loving us enough to correct us. Now, Father, help us to be men and women enough to accept that correction, to humble ourselves, to fall down at your feet and say, Lord, forgive me. Change me. Make me into all you want me to be. Now, we're going to sing a song. I think I know which one it is, but I'm not sure. I think it's Bind Us Together. What is the song we're singing?
Father, Make Us One.
Father, Make Us One. That's it. Now, I want you to think about this song and the reason I picked this song. A lot of people say, Father, Make Us One. That means between you and I. What we really got to become one is this way. Father, make us one. Father, I submit to you, and I'm willing to do all that I can do, Father, to allow you to make us one. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to submit myself to you. And I want to take whatever beating I need to take, Father, as you change me into the man or woman that God wants me to be. So if you would stand with me and sing this song. And then I'm going to close with a prayer. You're all standing there. Just bow your heads with me, please. How many of you out there who would say like me, Father, I needed this message. Father, I got some stuff that slipped into my life that shouldn't be there. And Father, as I beheld you on that cross, my heart was crushed. How many of you would say, forgive me? How many of you right now will repeat with me, Father, forgive me.
Father, forgive me.
I'm sorry. I want you in my life. I want to humble myself before you. And I want to submit to you. So, Father, forgive us and change us into the people that you've called us to be right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to sing this song, and you guys are dismissed. As you sing this song, you guys can go. The altars are open if anybody needs anything. Go ahead.
Father, make us one. May know.